God bless you. God bless you. God bless each and every one of you. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget. These 15 minutes, if you allow God to take them over, will absolutely and completely transform your life. So grateful to God that He has given us another day, another hour, another morning, another moment to come in His presence, to be in His presence, to be transformed by His Word. Go with me in prayer. Our Father, our loving Father, our adoring Father, our faithful Father, our just Father, our loving Father. Father God, we come to you this morning and we say thank you. God, we don't want to come and ask you for our laundry list of things. We want to say thank you for what it is you've already done for us. You've been so gracious, so kind. You've been our protector. You've been our provider. You've been our keeper. You've been our sustainer. You've been our friend. You have been everything and everyone we've ever needed, and even beyond our wildest imagination. And for that, God, we say thank you. We say thank you, God, because you are truly worthy to be praised. We say thank you, God, because in spite of all of this, you are still so truly good. We thank you, God, because you are the everlasting Father. You are the creator of the universe. And yet and still, God, you are so madly in love with us. How is it that we can conceive that a God that has created all that we could ever see, all that we've ever experienced, all that we've ever heard about in history, and all that we ever have to look forward to, still knows us by name, still knows the very number of hairs on our head, but yet and still, God, you do. And for that, God, we say thank you. Thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for always having us on your mind. And thank you for this moment that we're able to share with you and share with your word. God, we stand in expectation of you speaking to us. We stand in expectation of you transforming us. We stand in expectation of you just being God and being changed and transformed by your word. We love you today, God. We thank you for all that I've assembled here. God, you know what they stand in need of. And God, we know they won't leave empty-handed or empty-hearted. Bless you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we just thank God for each and every one of you that have taken up your moment, taken up your preparation time, taken up your sleep time, just taking of time, period, knowing that this time won't be wasted in studying God's word. On this morning, our travels take us to Lamentations. Lamentations, the third chapter. We are going to start at the 19th verse, Lamentations 3. Starting at verse 19, and we may read it from, well, we probably will. We'll read it from a couple of versions. Lamentations 3, starting at verse 19, we will start in the New American Standard Bible. It reads as follows. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Let's jump to the contemporary English version. The contemporary English version. Reading those same verses, it says, just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wanderings makes me miserable. That's all I ever think about, and I am depressed. Then I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If he had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. Deep in my heart, I say the Lord is all I need. I can depend on him. The Lord is kind to everyone who trusts and obeys him. So let me read it one more time, and this time I'll read it from the Message, and we'll close out from this version. Again, Lamentations 3, starting at verse 19. It says this: I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. And the word of the Lord is blessed. On this morning, with the few moments that I have left, I want to talk to you from this simple message: holding on to hope. Holding on to hope. With everything that we've experienced in the last few weeks, and everything that we continue to experience, and everything that we see others experiencing, sometimes it is difficult to find hope. It's often hardest to find in life's darkest moments. You all, Jeremiah, who's the writer of Lamentations, he knew this well. And those words that we just read from Lamentations 3, they came from a place of deep sorrow. He was reflecting on the devastation of Jerusalem and his own personal turmoil, his own personal anguish. But you all, yet in the midst of his overwhelming grief, Jeremiah makes that conscious choice to remember the faithfulness of God. You all, it reminds me of a story of a sailor who found himself lost at sea during a storm. And as the waves were crashing around him and as it tossed his small boat, it got to a place where it was nearly impossible to be able to see. But just as fear was overtaking him and he thought that he was going to lose his life, he caught sight of a lighthouse and its faint and its steady light breaking through the darkness. And even though the storm was still crashing about him, and even though the storm was just as strong as it was before, just because he was able to see that light, it gave him direction and it gave him hope. And he knew if he followed the light, he would eventually make it to shore. And isn't that what happens to us sometimes? When life is hitting us hard, whether it be a doctor's report, whether it be issues on our job, whether it be financial struggles, if it's the loss of someone dear or something dear, like Jeremiah, we feel overwhelmed by, as the scripture said, wormwood and bitterness. We get weighed down by despair. But yet, even when his soul felt crushed, Jeremiah says, but I remember this too. I recall this to my mind. Therefore, I wait. He teaches us that hope is not passive, but it's an active decision. It's an active decision to trust that God's mercies are still present, even if we don't see them clearly. You all, we end up in our own life storms. And ending up in our life storms, it could be tempting to give up hope. It could be tempting to look for quick fixes. It can be tempting for us to go back and start moving and shaking like we used to. But Jeremiah's words ought to encourage us to wait on the Lord. He said, the Lord is good to those who wait, who await him, to the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. The Message Bible says God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. You all, God's faithfulness is like that lighthouse that we talked about. It doesn't promise an immediate end to the storm, but it offers us direction. It gives us hope that we're going to get through it. Sure, that doctor's report may be the same right now, but it doesn't mean that the doctor's report has to take us out. They may be giving out pink slips on your job, but it doesn't mean the loss of a job means the loss of your life. You may be having struggles in your family with your children, and it may seem as though they're spiraling down into a bottomless abyss. But that same God that blessed you with those children, he's the same God you've got to give those children back to and say, God, I surrender my children to you. You know the outcome of their life. God, protect them. God, cover them. God, keep them. And then, God, help me to trust you. You all, his faithfulness gives us direction. It gives us that hope that we're going to make it through this situation. That's what Jeremiah was talking about, this truth, when he said, the Lord's mercies are never failing. His compassions don't fail us. Watch, they are new every morning. You don't have to rely off of yesterday's compassions, yesterday's mercies. They're never failing. They're new every morning. Every morning, we get a fresh set. Somebody ought to be excited right there. If you thought that you had to ride off of yesterday's mercies and with all the hell you went through yesterday, you don't know whether there's any mercy left. Can I encourage you today? His loving kindness doesn't end. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. They are great. They are abundant. And so is his faithfulness towards us. You all, understanding this, we talked about waiting. And sometimes waiting can feel like we're not doing anything. But that's not true. It's not inactivity. It's an act of faith. In waiting, we choose to trust God's timing rather than to trust our own. Hebrews 10 and 23 says this. It says, hold firmly to the confession of our hope, the confession of our faith, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And hope requires persistence, even when the storm keeps on raging. You all, every day, God gives us, he offers us new mercies, fresh opportunities to trust him and to see his hand at work in our lives. It may not mean that the storm is going away. It may not mean that the storm is disappearing. But it means that we have what we need to be able to endure it. Romans 15 and 13 gives us this encouragement. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. You all, again, God's faithfulness never runs out, no matter how overwhelming our circumstances feel. And when we hold on to hope, we reflect the truth that our struggles do not define us. God's promises is our definition. He is our portion. He is our strength. He is our salvation. And he is the hope that we hold on to. Let us pray. Gracious Father and God, we love you today and we thank you. We thank you for being that hope that we hold on to, that hope that we long for. God, we're longing for your peace and your assurance today. God, help us to cling to your faithfulness in every season, trusting that you will see us through. Help us to be your change agents today as we go about our way in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day in Jesus' name.